This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
On our Milky Monday, Matt Gould, analyst and editor of the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter, says the September milk production report represents the fastest growth rate in milk supply in about a year.
The milk supply growth is picking up in Europe. So we're exiting a period where milk production was negative worldwide, and we're headed towards, or maybe we're already in a period where milk production is positive. So that's going to continue to put downward momentum on prices. That said, seasonally, this is the time of year. You know, we're headed into, you know, demand season, if you will, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Super Bowl for cheese. So certainly volatility is probably the one thing that you can predict will continue.
Matt Gould, editor and analyst with the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter.
Tuesday.
On our Producer Tuesday, we're joined by Dr. Marcia Endress, a professor in the Animal Science Department at the University of Minnesota. Marcia, we'll be talking about the new farm upgrade.
Yeah, so the farm program version 4.0 is going to be in effect January. Time for us to start talking about this, getting prepared for it. There's been some changes on the program that I think farmers need to be aware of. Some things that became a little more a requirement as the program launches in January. And in general, a conversation about animal welfare, like you mentioned, is important for our basic agricultural soil license to produce milk. The buyers of dairy products more and more interested in animal care and how our farms are assuring the animals have a good life. So I think it's a topic that sometimes we don't want to talk about, but I think it's important because, again, it's not only the right thing to do to provide good welfare, but also important, like I said, for market access.
Marcia, thank you for the time today. Dr. Marcia Endress, a professor in the Animal Science Department at the University of Minnesota.
Wednesday.
What are some of the common mistakes you're seeing with kids on the farm?
Is that people just don't think safety as number one. So often things on the farm become repetition, and then they are just kind of doing the same thing over and over, and they don't think about what could happen. And because we've been seeing that so often, we work with UMASH, which is the Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center, creating farm safety checks. So they've taken a series of topics, and they come out with a new checklist once a month. And our hope with these checklists is that farmers will take them and they'll go through them with their families, by themselves, with their employees, whoever is going to be working and on the farm.
And that's Melissa Pluckelman, Education Outreach Specialist with the National Farm Medicine Center.
Thursday.
The issue of having an adequate workforce has been a perennial concern for a lot of different sectors of agriculture, and especially dairy. We don't have any current program that really allows us to have a reliable supply of legal workers, and so it's led to a lot of complications and a lot of heartache. And so the good news is that there's a new bill that was just introduced this week in the House of Representatives, and it's a bipartisan approach to dealing specifically with the ag labor component of immigration reform. So the bill is called the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, and it would basically deal with the two most pressing issues for National Milk and its members. One, making certain that we can keep our existing workforce, and number two, providing a future flow of workers by relying on the H-2A program and expanding that to include dairy.
Thanks for the update, Chris. Chris Galen is Senior VP of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives with the National Milk Producers Federation.
Friday.
Today's Feed Farm, we'll talk about corn stocks. And as we'd say in the Midwest, feed them, bet them, or forget them. The reason we're talking about corn stocks is that's a resource that may be available on a number of farms here in the United States for both beef and livestock producers. Corn stocks is kind of a forage extender. Runs around 6% crude protein, NDF around 67%, ADF 39%, TDN around 50%, and modestly low in phosphorus because the corn grain has been harvested. Lignin content at a whooping 11%, and we have about 7% ash in them, depending on how you handle them. So it's a pretty average, below average type forage feed ingredient in the feeding program. Digestibility depends on what you're taking. The best is going to be the husk, nearly 54% digestibility. Of course, corn cobs are down at 32%, the corn stalk 36%, the leaf is 42%. So again, depends on which portion of the plant you're going to harvest here if you're going to feed them out there in the feeding program.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.